We're going through the book of James, and we are going to look at, I have it up here on the board, 19 through 25. Ha. We're not going to get it. Not going to make it. But what we see here in James chapter 1, starting in verse 9, he says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And I'll just stop right there. James here in James chapter 1, verses 19 through 20, gives us some pretty good advice. In fact, he gives us some advice here that if we were to actually put this into practice, I think we could avoid a lot of trouble. Notice that James says here in verse 19, he says, "Wherefore, my beloved." That word "wherefore" is talking about what he had just talked about, right? Up here in the upper verses, the verses up here. Like, for instance, God is not to be blamed for your sin. Who's to be blamed for your sin? We are. Yeah, we're the problem, not God, right? So that's what James is saying. He says, God is holy and God is good, and all that is holy and good comes from God, because he is the source of all that is good and all that is holy. And then he goes on and he talks about us being begotten of God, begotten of God through the word of truth, all right? So we are begotten of God through the word of truth. Since we are begotten of God through the word of truth, because of all of what we just talked about, wherefore, what I'm getting ready to tell you, you need to put into practice. If you are born from the word of truth, through the word of truth, then that truth should be evident in what? In the way you live, right? In the way you behave, and the way you think, and in your attitude. So what James is doing here, he's getting ready to give these folks some good instruction, some good advice. And that's usually the way it works in the word of God, isn't it? First, he lays down the foundation, the truth, the doctrine. This is the reason why we do what we do. And then he gives the application. You read that in Paul's epistles all the time. First few chapters, doctrine. Last few chapters, application of what you just learned. James does the very same thing. So let's take a look at this and see what advice or what admonition that James gives us. He says here, first of all, be swift to hear. Some years ago, the company that I used to work for provided a course for all of its employees, an active listening course is what it was called. Do you remember that, Royal, when we went through an active listening course? We went through an active listening course, and the purpose of this course was to provide us with the tools to make us better listeners. Right, to make us better listeners, to open up our minds, to have open our minds up to new ideas and new processes on how to run the business or how to run your line or whatever that is. So they thought that if they were to put us through an active listening course, then this would help improve not only our listening skills, but our communication skills at the same time. So if you had an idea, then you knew how to better communicate that idea. Now, for the first month, it worked out pretty good. A lot of people were practicing what they were taught, but after, it just kind of fell apart. And I don't know about your team, Royal, but my team got back to yelling and screaming at one another. We put our fingers in our ears and we opened our mouths and we were doing a lot of shouting. So good, it was a good course, but we just didn't take it to heart. Harper Lee says, "Many receive advice, only the wise profit from it." Right? So, yeah, there's a lot of good advice out there, but only the wise profit from it. Now, the writer of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 12, you don't need to go there, but it says, "The hearing ear and the seeing eye the Lord hath made even both of them." All right, so the eye and the ear the Lord hath made even both of them. And I don't believe it's not any accident that the tongue is not included in that passage or in that verse in Proverbs. He gave us two eyes, he gave us two ears, and therefore, if we were to learn to listen and we were learn to observe, we could probably learn four times as much if we could learn to keep this zipped, right? So we need to observe, we need to listen to what more so than talk. Now, if you have kids or if you've got grandkids, you've noticed this phenomena, I'm sure. As soon as the mouth opens, the ears turn off, don't they? Yeah, the ears turn off. As soon as the grandkids start yakking, they don't hear anything. One Christmas, Diane, my wife, we had our grandkids, and she says, "You guys are not listening to me." She says, "Your ears are broken, so I'm going to buy you ears for Christmas." Of course, you know, they thought it was, well, guess what? Come Christmas, they all had this little box. Diane had gone out to a novelty store and bought these rubber ears that you could fit over your real ear. And every one of the grandkids got rubber ears. So she meant what she said, because there was a problem there. Something else, those who are always quick to speak, they have closed minds to others' opinions, don't they? Yeah, they have a closed mind. As soon as they open their mouth, their minds have already closed. You know how that you got that little dimple right underneath your nose? There's a story, and this isn't true, guys, but it's a story. One day, Adam and God were fellowshipping in the garden. And Adam was just absolutely excited about everything that he saw and everything that he did and everything that he heard. So he was excited telling God everything that took place during that day. So every time God wanted to say something, Adam thought of something new and he interrupted God. And he kept interrupting God because of all the things that he said and that he did that day. Well, finally God reached over with his finger and touched underneath Adam's nose and said, "Shh, and listen to what I have to say." Every one of us now has that little mark underneath our nose to remind us, listen to what God has to say. Listen to what God has to say. And this is exactly what James is telling us. He says, be swift to hear and slow to speak. Now the word swift there is the Greek word tachos. That's why I put a tachometer here, because that's where we get the word tachometer, is from this Greek word tachos, right? So like an engine that revs up the revolutions per minute, that's what a tachometer does. We should have ears revved up to listen. We should have ears revved up to listen. So instead of racing off with our mouth, right? We should be quick to hear. That's why I put the wings on the ears. We should be quick to listen to what God has to say. Now, I believe James is dealing with a problem in this church. I think there is a problem in this church. I think this church was full of people who were wanting to share what God had shown them and were less willing to listen to what God actually had to say to them. So I think there was a problem in this church. He goes on later on to tackle this in chapter 3, and we'll get there in 2018 or 2019. But anyway, yeah. He deals with it later on in chapter 3, right? But I think there was a problem in the church with people who had an issue with their mouth rather than listening with their ears. It's no different today, is it? It really isn't. It's no different today. There are some who always have a word to speak, but they have no skill to listen. They have no skill to listen. They always want to spout off with the mouth, but they don't want to hear. They don't want to listen. They don't want to learn. They don't want to listen. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. And now this is a devotional application. So you literalists out there, don't get with me after class and chew me up about this, okay? But what I want to show is four types of listeners. Four types of listeners. A lot of folks have much knowledge, but they have no wisdom or discernment when it comes to listening. Okay, Matthew 13 and verse 19. Would somebody please read verse 19?
But anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside.
Okay, again, you literalists, you know, please give me some grace here, all right? But this is the kind of listener who refuses to hear. Okay, he refuses to hear. The word this phrase here, understandeth not, that doesn't mean that he doesn't understand the gospel. The gospel is very simple. It's very simple to understand. The word understandeth not is it means that they don't want to listen to it. That's what it means. If you look further up in the context of that passage, Jesus is pointing out that these people choose to be dull of hearing due to their unbelief. They simply refuse to listen to the truth. In fact, they refuse to listen to the truth in preference for their own truth. They have a truth that they would rather believe in, therefore they reject the truth of God's word. And there are some folks around that just simply refuse to listen. Just like our grandkids. They just refuse to listen. They just simply refuse to listen. Somebody read Matthew 13, 20 through 21. Verses 20 through 21.
But he that receives the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, by and by he is offended.
Thank you, hon. These are folks who pretend to hear. You got folks who refuse to hear, and then you've got folks who pretend to hear. These are folks who get excited about new knowledge. You know, this is something new to them, so they're really excited about it, so they drink it all in. Or maybe it meets an intellectual itch, right? It's something that they hear that sparks their curiosity, and it meets an intellectual itch. Or maybe it's something that meets an emotional need at the time, right? They've got something going on in their life, and so something is said, and it touches their emotions at that particular time. But what happens is you know, they get involved, and they show up for a little while, but then reality sets in, and things are starting to be demanded on them, and then they realize there's some personal sacrifices that are involved in some of this stuff, and then pretty soon it's just too hard to deal with, and so what happens to them? They bail. They leave. They pretend to hear. They don't really hear. They just pretend to hear. And it makes no impact upon their life. So eventually, they end up and they go away. They bail. Somebody read verse 22, Matthew 13, 22.
He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the word care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful.
Okay, so you have those folks who refuse to hear, and then you have those folks who pretend to hear, and then you have those folks who hear only what they want to hear. They only hear what they want to hear. They play the church game. They come. They listen to the music. They hear the sermons. They say the amens and the praise gods in the right places, you know. But their ears are not truly tuned into what is being taught or what is being preached. This type of listener has a heart of divided interests, right? They've got one foot in church and one foot in the world. Yeah. And what they really like to listen to is what the world has to say. And that's where they naturally gravitate. So they pretend to hear. You got those who pretend to hear, those who refuse to hear, and those who only hear what they want to hear. Because when it becomes too convicting, what do? They shift to the world. They shift to the world when it becomes too convicting. Now somebody please read verse 23.
But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30.
Okay, this is the person who hears it, receives it, believes it, and acts upon it. It takes root. It takes root by faith. It takes root by faith. That truth takes root in their heart. It bears forth fruit, and their fruit bears forth fruit. You know, I remember one time when I got saved, somebody come up to me and says, "Oh, it's just a fad. It'll never last. It'll never go on." And, you know, the way my life was at that time, I could completely understand why they would say that. I could completely understand why they said that. But I knew in my heart it was a reality. And here I am like 45 years later, and it's still a reality. Amen. It's still a reality. And that's the way it is with folks who truly hear. It's a reality with them. It's a reality because it's mixed with faith. It's become real to them. It's become real to them. Let me read you a passage in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. He says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Paul uses two words. We read it as one word here as received, but Paul uses two words when he talks about received in this passage. The first received is the Greek word paralambano, and what this means is that you hear it and you understand it. They heard the gospel and they understood what the gospel was. They heard it and they understood it. The second word received is the Greek word dekomai, and that means to embrace it wholeheartedly. So not only did they hear the gospel and understand the gospel, but they embraced it wholeheartedly by faith, and it became effectual in their life. That's a real hearer. Is that even a word? That's a real listener, right? That's somebody who gets it by faith. It's very, very possible for a person to hear God's word with the physical organ of their ear and maybe even understand with their mind what it is that they're talking about it, but at the same time, not personally embrace it into their life. It has absolutely no effect upon them. They can quote the verse and they can talk the doctrine, but they do not walk the faith. They do not walk the faith. These Thessalonian believers did both. They not only understood it with their mind, and not only understood it by hearing it with their ear, but they embraced it with their heart, and it was evident in their life. And that's what James is talking about. Real faith comes by hearing and results in doing. And results in doing. You know, when I went to India, and I'm sure Steve can testify to this, but when I go to India, I see an eagerness in the faces of those people when they hear God's word read and preached to them. Many of these people travel for days, if not hours, to get to some place, sit on a hard concrete floor, and listen to some white guy from America read and preach the word of God to them. And they will sit there for hours, not moving. And yet they're drinking in everything that is said to them, everything that is taught to them, everything that they hear. They just drink it in with an eagerness. That reminds me of that verse in Mark chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, "And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them." There were houses that we went to this last time in some of the villages, that there were so many people crammed in these tiny little rooms, there was barely room to turn around. They were there for one reason and one reason only. They wanted to hear from God's word. They wanted to hear from God's word. When we went to these villages and underneath these tents, those people were packed right next to each other. In America, that wouldn't fly because we all have these little zones, these little bubbles. Don't get in my bubble. Well, if you go there, that bubble don't exist. And they will pack as many people as they can in as little area as possible because they want to hear God's word. You know what I'm fearful of? I'm fearful that Americans today are jaded to God's word. They're jaded. We can hear it anytime we want. We've got several copies of it sitting on our bookshelves collecting dust. You can go to bookstores and you can find all sorts of books on God's Word. And I think, I'm afraid that people in America become jaded to God's Word. Oh, I've heard that before. I've heard that before. Unless the preacher is clever, unless the preacher is funny, unless the preacher is eloquent, people don't want to hear from God's Word. People don't want to hear from God's Word. And that's a sad, sorry state that we've let our country get into. That's a sad, sorry state that our country has gotten into. A person who is swift to hear and eager to receive God's Word to me indicates a humble spirit. You see, not only are we jaded in America, we're also arrogant and prideful. We think we know the book. Do we really? Do we really? To me, a person who is swift to hear and eager to hear God's Word has got a humble spirit. Like the spirit of Mary. You remember Mary and Martha? In the Gospel of Luke, Mary and Martha. Martha was busy fixing lunch for the guys, right? Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. But yet, what did Martha end up doing? Yeah, she got frustrated. She got angry at her sister. She got angry at her sister. Why? Because her sister Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus to hear his word. We're the same way. We're like a Martha. We get so caught up in life. We get so busy. We think that the day-to-day things in life are of much higher priority than God's Word. Some of us don't even come to church on Sunday because we got more important things to do in our life.
That reminds me of something I read in my Atlas for Science this week. One of the devotions said, we get so busy, we use working for God as an excuse to keep our distance from God.
Yep. That's absolutely right. And that's a point I'm going to make, too. But that's a good observation. You know, life will do this to us if we're not careful, won't it? It sure will. It'll make itself appear as though it is the higher priority. It will. So much so that we don't bother even to get into God's Word a single time during the day. And when you get to the end of the day, oh, you know what? I didn't read God's Word. Oh, I'm just too tired. I think I'll just do it in the morning. I'll just do it in the morning. And so what do? You push it off. You brush it off. You pass it off.
I'll do it tomorrow.
No, we need to be swift to hear. We need to be eager to hear from God's Word. I don't know about you guys, but if I don't get into God's book every day, I feel drained. I do. I feel drained. I need God's Word every day. Something else about being swift to hear, it also reveals an eagerness to learn. I don't know about you guys, but I don't know everything. I know it's a shock. I don't know everything. In fact, I take that back. I have met a lot of people who think they know everything. But I don't know everything, you know? But also, being swift to hear, there's an eagerness to learn. Proverbs 1:5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. An eagerness to learn. Not simply for the sake of learning something new, like the Epicureans that were like at Mars Hill, they always wanted to hear something new. That's all they wanted to do, was hear something new. And there are people who approach God's Word that way. They only want to hear something new. They don't let it apply to their life. They just want to hear something new about it. The experts tell us there's three kinds of learners. That's a hard way to put that. But there are three kinds of learners, okay? There is the activity-oriented learner. And according to the experts, usually the learning has nothing to do with the content. All right? Has nothing to do with the content. The motive of the activity-oriented learner is primarily social. Their friends are going to take this class, so I'm going to take this class because I want to be with my friends, right? So it's social. So they take a class because their friends are taking a class. Or it may be a facade. They don't want to appear to be the odd man out, right? They don't want to appear as though they're not involved in the latest and greatest. So it's a facade. Or it may be simply because of obedience, because their pastor told them, you need to take D2. So they take D2 because their pastor told them to do it. Right? So that's the activity-oriented learner. And then you have the learning-oriented learner. And this is the person who likes learning for learning's sake. They just love to collect data. They just love to collect information. They'd be good in that game Trivial Pursuit, right? They have all these facts in their head because they have all of this knowledge. And so they pursue education just for the sake of education. They're professional students is what they are. They're professional students. You know, God's Word has something to say about something like that. 1 Corinthians 8:1, he says, now touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. And what does he say about just the pursuit of knowledge itself? Knowledge puffeth up. And if you notice with folks who have all these facts in their head, they're kind of this way, aren't they? Yeah, they're kind of puffed up. They're know-it-alls, and they know it, right? And then you have the goal-oriented learner. The goal-oriented learner. This learner has a goal in mind. They're learning because they want to accomplish something. Right? They've got a purpose. They've got a reason for learning. They may want to become a better husband, so they get into God's book. They may want to become a better wife, so they get into God's book. They may want to become a better father or a better mother, a better pastor, or whatever. More Christ-like. They want to become more Christ-like. What better place to go to learn to be more Christ-like, if that's your goal, than the Word of God? So we want to be goal-oriented learners, don't we? Sure we do. We want to take what we learn, put it into practice in our life so that we can do what? Edify others and glorify God. So that's a goal-oriented learner. That's what we want to be. Being swift to hear also speaks of a willingness to receive the truth. Let me ask you a question. Is it always fun to receive the truth? No, it isn't, is it? There's been times I have been squirming in my seat because of the truth that's being preached. Because sometimes it's simply not fun to receive the truth. Proverbs 22:17 says, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee, they withal shall be fitted in thy lips. You know, we're so receptive to so many things. We are so receptive to so many different things. The score of the ball game. What's the weather going to be like when I go into work tomorrow? What's the market doing? You know, we're always receptive to hear all sorts of things. Sometimes we're receptive to things that we shouldn't be hearing, like gossip or criticism. Something like that, you know, something that's not good for us, something that doesn't edify us. Proverbs 25:25 says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Have you ever been really, really thirsty? I mean parched. I mean where you're almost choking, your throat is so dry. Have you ever been that thirsty? Nothing will satisfy that thirst except for a long, cool drink of water. Tea don't cut it. Soda pop don't cut it. Nothing will do but a good, long, cool drink of water. That's the way we should be in regards to God's Word. We should be thirsty. We should be parched to receive God's Word. Nothing will satisfy my thirst rather than God's Word. But what do a lot of people do? They go to these Christian self-help books, or they'll go to a little devotional book, or they'll go to this book. And I'm not saying anything against those books. Please understand that, because I read them myself. But the source of the water is the well right here, God's Word. Right? God's Word. And I'm going to tell you something about those other books. Sometimes those other books don't line up with this book. They may sound spiritual, but when you compare them to this book, they don't line up. So you got to be careful. Go to the pure source of the water in God's Word. Proverbs 63:1, he says, O God, thou art my God. He says, early will I seek thee. So that should be some instruction. Right? First thing in the morning, get into God's word. He says, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Folks, there's no water out there. There's no water out there. There's soda pop and tea and everything else out there. The only pure source of water you're going to find is right here. Don't settle for a substitute. Don't settle for a substitute. Ecclesiastes 5:1 says this. He says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. That exactly addresses the point that you brought up. The writer of Ecclesiastes, he was observing those folks who were going into the temple to worship, and he watched the worshipers come and go. They went in praising God. They offered their sacrifices. They prayed. They sang. They did all the things that they were supposed to do. But he also noticed that their worship was insincere. He also noticed that their worship was insincere. They left the temple in worse spiritual condition than when they first went in. And the point that she's bringing up is a very good point. How many of us have come to church with a task in mind, right? And you're so busy about the business and the busyness of the church that when it came down to actually hearing from God through the teacher or the preacher, your mind was so cluttered up with busyness that you didn't hear what was being preached. I've been there before. I've been there before with my mind so full of, I've got to do this, and I got to make sure that I fail to hear what's being preached and taught. That's a hazard that all of us who are in a church that's alive and serving God, that's something we all have to be aware of. We all have to be aware of that. So many folks come not expecting to hear from God. And guess what? They get exactly what they expect. They don't hear from God. They don't hear from God because they're not expecting to hear from God. Okay, do I have time? Moving on. Slow to speak. I think this is an issue that most of God's people have trouble with, is being slow to speak. And now the word slow here is not a very flattering word. In fact, next to this fellow with a zipper on his mouth, I could draw this little cat. Okay? The word slow is only used in this particular word. Again, you go to your Strong's. Luke 24:25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe. That's the word slow. That's the word slow that James uses. The word slow means dull or dim-witted. Dull or dim-witted. It means slow to apprehend. It means not so quick to pick up on the meaning of something. So what James is telling us is that we need to be a dunce when it comes to shooting off our mouth. Slow to speak. Slow to shoot off our mouth. In fact, we ought to be geniuses when it comes to listening, and dunces when it comes to speaking. Alright? Dunces when it comes to speaking. Proverbs 10:19 says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. Ever been around somebody who's just spills out? Eventually they say something stupid, don't they? Sure they do. Sure they do. In a multitude of words there wanteth or lacketh not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. You want people to think you're wise? Shut up. Royal said it, I didn't. Yeah. Yeah. Refrain from your opinion.
Works for me.
Yeah. It works for me too sometimes. Again, I think there was this problem in this body of believers that James is talking to. There were some folks in there who wanted, even demanded to be heard all the time. Even to the point that it became competitive among the brothers. That's why I think James later on in chapter 3 says, be not many masters. I think there were a lot of men in this church who wanted to be masters. They wanted to be the teachers and the preachers. They wanted to be heard. So it got competitive. I have a real life experience with this. I recall when I used to work at TWA, about 120 years ago, worked at TWA, and there was a young man who had just brand new in the Lord. And then, have you ever noticed this phenomena about somebody who is brand new in the Lord and they start reading the Bible? They have this, all of a sudden, all this new information. And so all of a sudden they become the expert on the Word of God. And they've been saved maybe 6 months. All right? So all of a sudden they're the expert on the Word of God. Well, this young man, brand new in his faith, he desired to have fellowship with other believers. And at TWA, there was a group of men who would come together for lunchtime, and they would sit, eat lunch, and share out of God's Word. And it was wonderful, absolutely a wonderful time of fellowship. And so this young man joined the group of these men who were fellowshipping. And these men were men who had been around the block. All right, we're not talking novices here. We're talking some. Sam Shockley was a part of that group, okay? So we're talking some pretty wise guys, all right? So this young man shows up, and it wasn't long after a few lunches that all of a sudden tension began to build within this group because of this young man. And in fact, some of the older men didn't show up at times when this guy was here, all right? And so this young man, he got frustrated. He couldn't understand what was going on. Well, one of the more mature saints in the group told him that he was guilty of competing with his brothers and seeking the mastery over them. Because what he was doing was he was coming into this group of mature believers, and he was shutting them down because he was the authority. He had the truth, you know, by both horns, and he knew what he was talking about. And these guys had no idea what they were talking about. And so he would do nothing but criticize them, and he would arrogantly be judgmental to them, and he would always correct them. You see what was going on? Yeah, he became puffed up with what little knowledge he had. He became puffed up. And so he went into these men, and he thought that he could teach them a thing or two. I think James is dealing with the same kind of people in this church. And every church has them. Every church has them. There's somebody or someone's out there who think that they are the repository of all truth, and they know how to run your life better than the Holy Spirit can. Every church has got them. You need to pray for these folks. You need to pray for these folks that they understand that they're not the repository of truth. So this young man, that's what happened to him. He just simply couldn't tolerate anybody else speaking because he wanted to be the one that had the know. He was in the know. So I think James is taking on. That's what he's taking on. Proverbs 17:28 says, even a fool when he holdeth his peace is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. So I'm sure all of us at one time or another have run into this kind of individual. A know-it-all, right? A know-it-all. Maybe you're a know-it-all. I don't know. You know, I've been there. You know, I've been there. I know exactly what it's all about. It's not a good place to be. You know, they always have something to say about everything under the sun. And like this young man so long ago, they simply need to learn that there comes a time to what? Zip it and listen. Zip it and listen. And I'm going to stop right there. I'll pick up the rest of this next week. So I'm going to stop right there because I've got a lot more to say. The zipper is open up my mouth right now, so I have a lot more to say. So Royal, could you close us out in prayer and then we'll be dismissed.
Dear Lord Jesus, we are grateful that you would